I've got a book for you this afternoon from a woman whose story is one of resilience, of an extraordinary transformation of language, of friendship, education, and in fact, the kindness and support of strangers. Joining us are two people, in fact, Marie Yunin, who is the author of this book, and the book is all about, and Jill Sanguinetti, who has worked with Marie to bring this story to life. Good afternoon to both of you.
Good.
Marie, I really want to start with you. Your story is extraordinary. It begins, in fact, of course, talking about the fact that you were blind from a very small child. And it's a really emotional story because for a very long time, you believed that your blindness was because of an accident that your grandmother was in charge of. Can you explain to us what happened?
When I was 6 months old, I had an infection in my eyes, and my grandmother, she decided to put a cochineal in my eyes. And then when she put that cochineal in my eyes, the next day she opened my eyes and my mom, and they can't see anything inside except covered all in white. Mm. And since that minute, my grandmother, she felt very guilty. And I grew up with a lot of sisters, 9 girls, including me, 10 girls, and 2 boys.
12 children in your family. Family is a huge part of this story.
It is. And I thought, I never knew what blindness was. I was following my sisters, and I thought, my sisters are the same as I am. I didn't know about their world, nothing, until I was probably 7 or 8.
I found that fascinating when you wrote about that. I didn't understand it at first when you were talking about being blind. Then it dawned on me that there was a thing called seeing that everyone else could do except me.
Yes. When I found out I was blind and I knew that I could not do much, and then I been told that you're blind, you can't go to school, you can't read, you can't write, you can't peel an apple or do the cooking because you're blind. So that stuck in my mind.
You were absolutely loved by your family, but as you say, Marie, the idea that you could be educated was something that they just didn't see.
That's right. Just because I was blind, the blindness was in my way to be with my sisters and go to school. I used to hold their book in my hand and say, "I wish I could read what's in this book," but no, I can't because I'm blind.
What's so exciting, and we're kind of going to jump to the end of the story in some way, is that we're going to find out how you found your way there. But Marie, not only have you been able to read now, you've written a book, which is just an incredible achievement. And Jill Sanguinetti is someone that you met later in your life. Jill, good afternoon to you as well.
Hello, Jacinta.
You've been able to work with Marie on the writing of this book, A Different Kind of Seeing. I know you met Marie much later in the story than where we are right now, but obviously this story of her life was something that inspired you when you heard it.
Well, it inspired me when I met Marie 30 years ago when I was her teacher, when she was doing her first adult literacy class, and she told me that story, and she told me many other stories. And there was something about Marie's stories that stayed with me. And when we met up years later and I knew she wanted to write a book, I jumped at it, and it's been a privilege.
I'm going to find out more about that part of the story, Jill, in a moment. But Marie, to go back to you, you grew up in northeastern Syria, and your family eventually migrated to Beirut, and then in the mid-70s, they found their way to Melbourne, Australia, to escape the civil war that was happening in Beirut at the time. But you were unable to join them initially.
That's right. I went to Greece. I stayed with my sister. Then my sister had to come to Melbourne. Then I stayed with my brother. And then I taught myself a Greek language. And then I never thought I will arrive in marvellous Melbourne. But thank God I did.
You were unable to get a visa because of your blindness, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. All the time I used to call every 3 weeks and no, nothing. We haven't heard anything. And
you're a girl, you're a teenager when this is happening.
I was.
How, I mean, and as we said, the family part of your story in this early part of this book, especially your grandparents, your parents, your very large sibling group, being away from them, it must have been just very, very difficult.
It was very difficult, and my brother was getting ready to come, and the lady we were renting house from, and she said, "Don't worry, if you can't go, if you're not allowed to go, just start calling me from now, calling me Mum, and I will take you to boarding school, and I'll bring you here every weekend." And I was like completely. Like I felt very sad because I'm not going to be join my family, and I said to my parents, "This is what's happening," and my mom and dad said, "No way, we're coming back." I said, "You're not leaving everyone behind to come just for me," and my dad said, "No, we're coming back for you."
But eventually, you did find your way to marvelous Melbourne.
I did. I did. When I called embassy in Greece. And then I was using that lady's phone, and she can see me, big smile in my face. And she, when I hang up, and she said in Greek language, she said, "Tell me, each time when you used to call, you used to cry after hanging up. But today I can see big smile in your face." And she started crying. And I said, "You know what, Mum? I'm going. My visa is ready." And I was very happy. I just don't know how I get downstairs to tell my brother and my sister-in-law that I'll be going.
So you arrive, your family has settled here in Melbourne, and what you say that's really, really interesting in this book is being blind and not speaking the language was like having a double obstacle that prevented me from making friends. And you talk about being blind in such an interesting way around the obstacles that it created for you. Obviously, it was your life, but also not having a language or an education and having a way that you could communicate with the people around you.
It was very difficult. I used to go to bed 3-4 times crying, "Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I can't speak language. I can't communicate with people." I love to be with people. I love to be around people, but I couldn't accept my family. And then when my sister knew someone from Vision Australia, she introduced me to them and took me to day centre, and then started from there. And then social worker, she knew a Braille teacher, Ben Hewitt, and she asked me if I can read and write, and I said no. And she said, "Would you like to?" And I said, "Yes, please."
Ben Hewitt is the man that you have dedicated this book to. He is a very, very important part of this story because, of course, suddenly Ben saw in you an ability to learn Braille, and also then the world opens up.
Exactly. He's a very important person in my life because Ben and I, when I met him and I said to him, he asked me, I asked him, "Is not too late?" He said, "I think it is too late, but would you like to try? I really wanted to try to have a taste of your people's world, what the taste like." And I said, "Yes, please, yes, please." And he said, "When I heard that, you are very keen to learn." So I said, "I will try my best." And I'm glad there was a lot of times I wanted to give up because of the language, especially.
Yes, because you're learning multiple languages, Braille and English.
Exactly, both of them at the same time. And I said, "No, I'm not going to give up." And I'm glad I didn't.
Wow, this is the incredible resilience of this book is also being told, you know, from such a young age that this wasn't a world for you, a world of learning and of education was not for you to have, but then to see beyond that, Marie, and find that you did have a place in this world of learning.
It is, and I said to myself, why it's not well for me? I have got healthy brain. I can walk. I know I can read with my fingers, so I'll give it a try for and show to other people with disability. If our brain is healthy, that means we can do everything and anything.
What did it open up for you, Marie?
The whole world. Mm. Sometimes I forget myself, I'm blind. The things I do, the things I have learned from a Royal Victorian Institute for the Blind, and I'm using a cane and a lot of things that sometimes my sisters and they ask me for help. And I say to myself, what? This is me helping people who can see. I can't believe myself.
It was beautiful too that you talked about your father and your parents who loved each other very much, who saw you in this new world of learning and were so proud of you.
Yeah, my mum and dad, my dad was about 85 when he passed away, but he was an absolutely, like, very modern person. He was full of jokes, and one day I said to him, I want to call my sister in America. And I was reading with my left hand and dialing the number with my right hand. And he said to my mum, she done it. Absolutely, she done it. Isn't it something I can never believe?
Wow. You've got a text here from Dave in Hawthorne, Maria, who says, this guest is awesome. I basically had to teach myself to live and work as a blind person, but I've had a lot of privileges which I am very thankful for. Your current guest is an inspiration to us all.
Thank you very much.
Marie, not only did you learn from Ben Hewitt to read Braille and then to learn and discover the world, but you knew that the sky was even larger than that, and you went and you learnt in a sighted classroom, and this is where we meet Jill. Jill, do you remember meeting Marie for the very first time?
She was she's a special teacher.
I certainly do remember Marie. I remember her for her beautiful smile and personality and her absolute determination to learn.
She was
great in the classroom.
Had you taught someone with vision impairment previously?
Oh, no, not at all. But it was a smallish group of women, all migrants, and it was quite easy for me while I was teaching and talking about words to write the words on the board, but then say each letter and each word so Marie could know what was on the whiteboard. And every time I spelt out a new word, her face would break into this smile of joy. It was just lovely having her in the classroom, and she gave so much support to all the other students.
Marie, what was your memory of Jill when you went into his classroom that was for, women, migrant women who were going back into learning again? What was it like for you?
First of all, I'm going to say when Ben told me that I'm going to enroll you to go to TAFE, I said, oh, no. He said, why? I said, because everyone there, they can see except me. He said, who cares? You're going. I already enrolled you. Oh, my God. And when I sit in the class and I'm listening to Jill's voice and she's writing on the blackboard, and I said, oh, my God, how am I going to see that? I can't see. I felt very sad because I want to learn everything quickly. And then what I like about the Jill teaching, the way she used to spell every word, and I was going like a crazy with my Braille machine. With my Braille machine, I still feel bad now for the students, all the noise my Braille machine is doing. I want to follow. I don't want to leave any word that I didn't write. Oh. That was very special about Jill's teaching.
Jill, but to have a student that is so hungry to learn and understands the value of that education, I'm sure that's also a treat.
It was indeed a treat, and it was a treat for everybody in the class. And we had a lot of laughs, didn't we, Marie?
We did. We did a lot of. I used to feel someone standing behind me, about four or five students watching me. I'm going like very fast with my Braille machine, and then I feel someone is standing, and I used to look behind, and they used to say, "Don't worry, we were just watching your fingers."
And how well you're doing. A different kind of scene.
I also should say, Jacinta, that Marie has such an amazing memory, which people who read the book will realise, these wonderful stories. But as we were writing the chapter about the Migrant Women's Learning Centre, she remembered all the students, their names, and all the funny, quirky things about them, which I had forgotten. And it was just great having... She gave back to me a lot of memories.
Marie, have you got a really good memory, or did you make notes? Did you keep a diary during this time? How have you recalled this life that you've captured in this book?
Oh, no, I don't have any diary. I knew I was blind, and I stepped back from my sisters because I don't want to interrupt them. And I decide for myself to have a storage room. Everything my grandmother, her cousin, my mom, anyone who used to, any stories, I said, I'm going to keep them in a storage room. So I think I've got, like Braille teacher said, you've got super memories. Sometimes we used to go to the classroom and reception used to say to Ben, such and such a student call you, what's the number? And like 752. And we used to go to the Braille room. Oh, Marie, I have to go back to reception. I forgot the number. I've got it. I'll give it to you.
Wow. Super skill. Marie Yunin is the author and the subject of the book, A Different Kind of Seeing, and has been written with Jill Sanguinetti. Jill, the process, as you say, is sitting down and hearing the story of Marie's life told with such beautiful detail. What was that like for you working on this?
Well, it was really interesting because I would take notes, go home, write it out, and then a week or so later I would come back to Marie and read out what we'd done so far. And immediately that would trigger off in Marie a whole lot more stories and different memories. And so the whole story sort of went outward. And as we went along, she went more deeply as well into what her feelings were at different times. So it was quite a long process of going over and over, and each stage we went more deeply into the story, and some of the funniest stories and the best stories came out at the end.
Marie, one of the stories that we do read a little bit more about at the end was with your grandmother, and the incident that you always believed was as a result of the eye drops that she used in terms of trying to fix the infection that you felt had caused your blindness. And it wasn't until later on and working with Jill that perhaps that wasn't always correct, that maybe it was because of glaucoma that had that you'd had from a child. And the grief that you felt all these years, how have you sat with it now?
Oh, I can't thank Jill enough. She took a lot of worries and guilt on me. She took it away. Now whenever I used to be in pain, I used to say, oh, Grandma, why did you do that? Why did you put that in my eyes? Thanks to Jill, I never say that anymore. It's not her fault. And I used to feel for her because she felt guilty, and I used to feel sorry for her and sorry for myself. I wish she never done it. Mom, why did you let my grandmother to put that cochineal in my eyes? I don't know. She's the head of the family, so she can do whatever she wants to. But now, no. I feel much better thanks to Jill.
It's a huge, huge shift in the story that you've lived with for a long time. The story, as we've said, and Arnold Zabel has also written here, what an inspiration and remarkable resilience. It's the story of Marie Yunin, a different kind of seeing my journey. And it's been wonderful to speak about just a portion of it today, but again, a great book to read. Thank you both for joining us this afternoon.
And thank you very much, Jacinta. Most of the time as I listen to you, and thank you very much for having both of us.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's so great. Thank you very much, Marie Yunin.
Thank you, Jacinta. I actually read your book recently.
Did you, Jill?
And I got a lot out of it, and I think it's an important story. And a really good read.
Oh, Jill, thank you very much.
You.
Both of you giving lovely compliments at the end that were not required but very graciously accepted. Thank you. Jill Sanguinetti, co-authoring the book with Marie Yunin, who tells this remarkable story and, as we said, resilience, friendship and education and the power of it all. It's a great book, The Power, A Different Kind of Seeing, My Journey.